Now, I'm just wondering if we performed an experiment, say we attached a recording device to everyone here. I wonder, after a week's time, if we came back and analysed the data, who would be the person who will have spoken the most? Anyone want to have a go at guessing who that person might be? I don't know what you think, but it's interesting to think about how many words we actually speak. And for yourself, what do you reckon? How many words do you think that you speak on average each day? Anyone here who reckons they speak less than 100 words per day? Okay, that's probably a good thing. How many here reckon that you speak at least 1,000 words a day? There's not many people putting their hands up. I think you underestimate how much you actually speak, because the average person speaks per day basically close to 16,000 words. That's a lot when you think about it. Now, the research suggests that women do talk more than men on average. That's probably not very surprising. But the difference isn't that great, which is the surprising thing. Maybe men do speak more than what we really think we do. The main difference actually lies in what is talked about, not actually how much we talk. Women tend to talk more about their relationships, whereas blokes talk more about sport and their various gadgets. But overall, 16,000 words or so is a lot of words that we speak each day. But think about, out of all of those words that you speak each day, what percentage of the words that you speak really benefit the life of the people around you? Now, I don't think there'd be anyone here who would say 100% of the time, whatever I say, it's always beneficial to whoever it is that I'm speaking to. But what do you think for yourself? 20%? 50%? More than 50% of what you say is actually beneficial to the people around you? Our words can have a massive impact on those around us. If you've ever been hurt by something that someone said to you, then you know the kind of impact that words can make. But at times, we're still not aware of just how powerful words can be. Think about God and his words. From eternity, God has actually been a God of communication. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son, is called in the Bible the Logos, the Word. And that's significant. God the Son is the Word because he is the eternal self-expression of God the Father. In other words, God is always expressing himself. His words are eternal. But notice how he uses those eternal words of his. What did God do with his words at the time of the beginning of our universe? Well, God used his words back then to create the universe, to form planet Earth, and to fill this planet with life. So we see there that from the very beginning of the history of our universe, God's words have been bringing life to everything that exists. His words are life-giving. In a similar way, us human beings, being created in God's image, having the ability of language placed within us, God wants us to use our words in a way that is similar to how he uses words. God uses words to bring life, and God wants us to use our words to do the same, to bring life to others. And friends, that is why Solomon says in Proverbs 10, verse 11, that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Like a spring of life-giving water in a dry and deserted place, the righteous, those who are committed to serving God, know how to use their words to bring life to the people around them. We should be using our words to enhance the experience of life of those with whom we come into contact. It seems to me, however, that often we just speak for the sake of speaking, either to deal with some kind of issue in front of us that we have to deal with, or often we just speak for the fun of it. But as those who are or should be committed to serving God, we need to start to be more self-conscious in our communication. We need to be more conscious, making sure that every word that we speak is actually life-enhancing, life-promoting. So don't use your words to promote darkness or disorder or death. Don't join the dark side with how you communicate with others. Don't foster the work of Satan with the words that you speak. Instead, model your words on God's words. Just as God has spoken so that we might experience the fullness of life, so too we need to think about what we say. We need to ask ourselves the question, is what I'm saying right now beneficial to the person that I'm speaking to? Through what I am saying and the things I talk about each day, am I pointing people to truth? Am I pointing people to the things of life as God defines them? Our words need to be directed to help people to have a sense of peace and joy, to help people have a sense of purpose and hope as they grow in their knowledge of God. So let's not waste our words. Let's use them wisely for the sake of everyone around us. Solomon says that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but contrast that to the mouth of the wicked. In verse 6, Solomon tells us that the mouth of the wicked conceals injustice. The Bible tells us that a fast connection exists between our mouths and our heart. It's like there's a superhighway between the human mouth and the human heart. The time delay between a thought appearing in our minds to when that thought escapes from our lips is often minuscule. And even if there is a slight delay, what we say basically always reflects the spiritual state of our hearts. Because of the broadband connection that exists between our hearts and our mouths, we often hear the unregenerate part of our soul speaking. We often hear the kind of things that shouldn't be said. And because our mouths reflect our hearts, that is why the mouth of the wicked often conceals injustice. And the second half of verse 11 here, it just repeats. It's identical with the second half of verse 6. So through this repetition, we can see that Solomon is stressing the fact that the wicked typically harbour evil thoughts under their words. Even if they speak nicely, it's ultimately for some kind of selfish motive. We know that the wicked, they haven't experienced God's mercy, and so they treat others without mercy. They're often thinking about how to hurt other people, how to get even with others, or simply how to benefit themselves at the expense of those around them. And they often respond violently to anyone who gets in their way. They're motivated by hatred rather than love. But notice what hatred leads to, according to verse 12. Hatred incites contentions. Hatred leads to social disorder. It leads to the breakdown of relationships. If a person's only thinking about themselves and their own benefit, if they're only motivated out of selfish reasons in their social relationships, if all they're seeking to do is to get what they want to get from others, to protect what they control, and to expand that domain of control as much as they want or can, then we shouldn't be surprised to see the kind of territorial disputes that we see on an international level being replayed on a smaller but just as harmful scale on an interpersonal level. So many fights, so many disputes, simply because we don't know the meaning of love. And so we get parents and children sometimes hating each other, siblings hating each other, friends falling out with each other, disputes in the workplace with bosses abusing workers, and couples who pledged their eternal love to each other once upon a time now filing for divorce. Hatred incites contentions. It causes disputes. But Solomon tells us that love covers all transgressions. Instead of hating one another, we need to be loving one another. And when you think about it, what is love? Well, I think ultimately love is desiring what is best for the other person. Love says that even if someone hurts me, I will endeavor to think about what is best for that person. Instead of responding out of hatred towards those who have hurt us, the person who knows the meaning of love stops to think about how he or she can help those who are causing such hurt. Now, obviously, it's a difficult thing to be able to reach out to people who have hurt us or hurt other people. It requires in us the willingness to be able to forgive. To be able to reach out to help the person who has hurt us, to help them to become a better person, that requires us being willing to cover over their transgression. Not to pretend that it didn't happen, but to move beyond the pain of what they did to us, to seek what is best for that person in question. It's a difficult thing to do, but it requires the ability to forgive on our part. The wicked, well, they're stuck in a destructive cycle of hatred. But the righteous, knowing how God has forgiven us and not held our transgression against us, the righteous are willing to look beyond the sins of others in order to bring the hater back to the pathway of life, which is characterized by love. So in response to what Solomon is telling us today, we also need to ask the question of ourselves. Is there anyone with whom we are harboring a grudge today? Have you been seeking to punish that person? To get even with them? To hurt them back just as they've hurt you? God wants us to move beyond the pain, to leave our anger behind and to reach out to that person in love. We need to help those who hate and hurt to repent and to return to the life of love that God has called upon each one of us to pursue. But we can only do this as the love of God Himself motivates us. Remember, God has forgiven you, so you are able to forgive others. It might be difficult to do, but we can actually reach out to those who have hurt us or hurt others as we grow in our understanding of God and His Word. And what we say when we interact with those who have unjustly caused pain to others is very important. Understanding God, understanding His character, seeing how God dealt with the wicked in history as recorded for us in the Bible, all of that will give us the kind of understanding and insight that we need to have in order to be able to speak wisely in every situation. Now Solomon tells us in verse 13 that wisdom is found on the lips of the person who has understanding. Solomon's telling us that if we grow in wisdom by learning from God, then we'll know how to speak wisely. We'll know how to deal with tricky situations. So friends, let's keep on learning from God. Let's keep on studying His Word and getting to know Him better. Because as we do so, we'll grow in wisdom and we'll be able to speak wisdom to those around us. To be known as a person who is wise and who speaks wisdom is certainly a lot better than being a fool. Because Solomon tells us in verse 13 that fools will end up being punished. In verse 13, Solomon reminds us of the fate of the foolish. The person who lacks knowledge will find his or her back being beaten with a rod. This is a picture of a foolish person who ends up going to court over some kind of dispute, only to end up losing the court case and being punished as a result by being beaten on the back with a big stick. Ultimately, it's a picture of how the foolish will end up. They'll be beaten up, and in the end, by none other than God himself. In verse 14, Solomon reminds us that in contrast to the foolish, the wise store up knowledge. The wise person values wisdom. Is that a description of you? Solomon tells us here that the wise person understands that what ultimately makes a difference to our lives is what we know about God and his word. The wise person treasures up divine wisdom and therefore seeks to grow in wisdom, to store up more and more of wisdom each and every day. So for us here, in the light of that proverb, what have we been doing in relation to wisdom? Do you value what you learn here at church? Are you keen to keep on learning and to keep on growing in wisdom? Are you making the most of the various opportunities that our church offers you to help you grow in the knowledge of God and his word? Are you making sure that in the busyness of your life you are setting aside sufficient time to be able to interact with God regularly? To be able to interact with his word in order each day to be able to add a little bit extra valuable knowledge to your storehouse of wisdom? Is that what you're wanting to see in your life? Or how are you spending your time? Think about what we do. Does it have value for growing in wisdom? There are so many ways by which we can grow in our knowledge of God. Apart from reading the Bible for ourselves and praying, we can go to a Bible study group. We can learn a new song of worship, talk to the minister or Christian friends, listen to online sermons or attend a Christian conference, or even study some subjects at Bible college if you're really keen to learn and grow. Just spending some time thinking about God and his plan for this world and what he wants you to do with your life for him. These things can help us grow. So friends, let's make use of the resources that God has given us. By using these things, we can grow in our knowledge of him and his ways. And we should be doing this because it's pretty obvious that being wise is a lot better than being a fool. Instead of storing up knowledge, what do fools do? Well, according to Solomon here, they end up destroying themselves. He tells us in verse 14 that the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The words that the foolish speak often get them in trouble. Fools, they just keep on prattling on, oblivious to the ruin awaiting them around the corner. But in the end, if they keep on with their foolish ways, if they keep on heading in the wrong direction, they will be destroyed. They'll be shattered. They'll be smashed. And for all of their foolish verbiage, right, everything that they've been saying throughout their lives, it'll be unable to save them. So in response to what Solomon is telling us here, we also have the opportunity today to think about, well, what are our mouths like? What's your mouth like? I'm not talking about if it's big or small or if you've got nice teeth or terrible teeth. We're interested here in the kind of language that comes out of your mouth. Just imagine, like I said before, if one day all of your words were recorded. Imagine if those words were then taken and analysed. What would the analyst hear? Words of wisdom? Or foolish prattle? Friends, God wants to see in us a wise mouth guided by a wise heart. So let's make sure that we make the most of the opportunities that God gives to us to be able to grow in wisdom. If we grow in wisdom, then we'll be a fountain of life to the people around us.